Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date, January 14th, 2021. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make the choice for your show tonight. If you need help after the program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. And an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Now you can always find updates with the breaking news all about the Wichita Mission Church, radio program archives, contact information, all of the ministry hub, which is very simply prophecyhour.com. We are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on net internationally. It's on YouTube, podcast, on some FM, so pray about supporting airtime. On another note, let's thank all the listener bases worldwide, places like Brisbane, Australia, Dublin, Ireland, and Oslo, Norway, and of course, cities in the good old United States, such as Newark, New Jersey, Phoenix, Arizona, and Lexington, Kentucky. Yes, Wichita, you got back to the top of being the largest group of listeners to our podcast. Well, yeah, to our podcast. Whether when these radio programs go into podcasts later tonight. Yeah, a lot of people don't understand that. If you're listening to this as a podcast, this is actually a live radio program. It's just the archive of it. Anyway, by the way, folks, we ask you to send an email to me at radio@messiahsbranch.org or text to my phone, 316-619-4886. Let me know where you're hailing from. Follow us and share us at Twitter. That's Pastor Dan Catlin at Branch77. But that's going away, too, because I'm one of them that are being picked on. Anyway. Now, prayer, and we'll get on with tonight's guest. Your Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, I pray. Father, I pray radio tonight goes according to your will and not our will. And please give everyone ears out there and wish to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father Yahweh, in your Son, Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, tonight we got Pastor Carl back on with us, and I can hear him over there, so we know he's with us. He's a best-selling author, senior pastor since 1987. He's a talk radio host. He has been heard nationally and internationally. He's on TV, radio, guest commentator, former decorated Florida law enforcement officer, founder of P.P. Simmons News and Ministry Network, and he's also a member of the Board of Regents at the University of Mobile in Mobile, Alabama. Carl has written 11 books now, unless he wrote one in the last month, anyway. He wouldn't surprise me. He wrote The Rabbi Who Found Messiah, The Magic Man in the Sky, Final Warning, Be Thou Prepared, When the Lion Roars, Gods and Thrones, Gods of Ground Zero, The Rabbi, The Secret Message, and The Identity of Messiah, Masquerade, and the newest is The Summoning. And so welcome now, Pastor Carl. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Pastor Dan, it's good to be with you, brother. Love you.
Yeah, amen. It's really good to have you on, too. And, you know, I always ask you for things like this. I'm not going to vary from what I normally do, but I mean, there's so many people are really, in distress. You know what I mean? Because it looks like Biden is going to take the helm, and they're asking me, "Is there any hope?" and so on and so forth. And you know, I try to comfort them, but I don't see anything springing up out of. You know what I'm saying, Carl? And so a little clarification on this. You know, I believe President Trump was a blessing, but for many different reasons. But the biggest thing, and you and I have agreed on this, and I would like for you to go back into that. I've seen you did it on Facebook. But he revealed so much came to light. It just seemed like just as soon as he came into office, that all the evil dropped their costumes and the rocks they were hiding behind and are just blatantly out there. I said it was a big revealing, and you elaborated on it. Go into that a minute.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, listen, first of all, to those who are asking, is there any hope? There's always, always hope for the born-again, blood-bought believer in Jesus Christ. And that those are not just pretty fluffy words. That's the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that there would be a generation to see these kinds of things that we're experiencing right now. I'm not a date setter. You know that. I'm not an overly sensationalist person. But I've been warning the church for well over a couple of decades. I've been using the phrase, we're living in the most prophetic time since the first coming of Jesus Christ. We need to be prepared. And you know, and people would get the prophecy conferences and everywhere, you know, amen, amen, amen. But apparently in the back of their mind, they were thinking, well, I can say amen because that's not going to be us. Yeah, that's for somebody else. Well, now it's here. And, you know, and people are saying, oh, my gosh, is there any hope? You know, well, you know, listen, and I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just saying I understand it. And it's tumultuous, But the Word of God said that these things were going to take place, and the Word did not leave us alone on this. I mean, the Word of God gives us all of the answers, and we'll deal with that in just a moment. But because I'd love to give some comfort and some hope and some peace to people. Yeah. But I don't want to be one of those false prophets of Jeremiah either, running around saying, hey, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be lovely. There has never been a generation of humanity where everything was lovely in that generation. Never. Anywhere. I mean, while we've been sitting up in America for the last couple of hundred years, and especially for the last 50, 60 years of prosperity and power and wealth, the vast majority of the rest of the world has been living like we're experiencing right now. False governments and fake governments and riots and insurrections and persecution against God's people especially, and churches being driven underground, and China and North Korea and all over the Middle East. And again, Christians in America, you know, sitting back in our comfortable pews and, you know, timing the preacher's sermon because we got to get home to a roast in the oven, you know, and amen and everything that the preacher would preach about our brothers and sisters in China and everybody, oh, that's a shame, those poor folks over there. But, you know, and it was so easy to do because that'll never happen here. Well, you know, that's what the Israelites said when they kept spitting in God's face. And finally God said, you know what? You know what? It's time for judgment to begin even with my own people. And the Word of God says judgment begins in the house of the Lord in these last prophetic days. But the bottom line, your original question, let me get to that, and then we can get into all this other stuff, is, yes, you're right. Now, let's not forget, because you and I talked about this, I'll never forget, right after Donald Trump went in office, one of the things that happened that just shocked us, not really shocked us, but we talked about it. Yeah. Do you remember, right after he went in office, where the witches of the world...
Yeah.
Joined on the internet to cast spells on Donald Trump to quote pray against him. Of course, we know who they're praying to perform incantations and spells and seances and all of this wicked demonic occultic stuff. And they were even printing up little formulas you could use and specific words and chants. You remember all of that, brother?
Oh yeah, sure.
Okay,
sure.
So we knew then. I mean, we knew then, we talked about it on one of your programs, that this man, his very presence, was known by the demonic realm in a way that they feared him. And I'm not putting him up there with Jesus or an angel or anything like that. I'm just saying that somehow the demonic realm knew that the hand of God was on this man for this purpose. He had been raised up to expose them. And so before he could even breathe on his first day, this is what was happening. All right, now, you'll remember that I've said this on your show before, and I think I said it in the thing that I wrote the other day. You've read on Facebook, apparently. That right after he took office, I was on an international Christian television show. We were broadcasting live, and plus it was then going to be edited and run reruns, and it has all over the place. But so in other words, I'm just telling your audience what I'm getting ready to say can be proven. It can be backed up. I'm not making this up because it was broadcast to the world, and it's on tape somewhere or on in the archive somewhere. But anyway.
Well, Carl, you told this exact story way back then and quoted the name of the program and everything, and it's in my radio archive, so I know it's a fact that you did do it because you come on and told me the whole story and told Saul the whole story back then.
Oh, okay, well, great. That's wonderful. So you've got it too. But just as a reminder to your audience and then to your newer listeners, so I was asked by the host on the show, it was right after Trump won, I guess a week or two. It couldn't have been much more than that. I could be a little off on exactly when it was, but it was right up after he won the election. And there was a live studio audience, and I was asked, you know, so in fact, there were several of us on a panel, but I was asked, so what do you think the next 4 years holds? Now that Donald Trump is in office, now that this miracle has happened and everybody was all excited, you know, and I was too, because Hillary lost. and because, you know, I like Donald Trump okay, but I mean, you know, but he was the obvious choice for anybody that was going to go vote and even for God's people, in that he, you know, had pledged to support the Constitution, rule of law, to support churches, to support the sanctity of life in the womb, to support biblical marriage, etc. So he was the one. We were glad. So I was asked, what do I foresee for the future? Well, you know, I never claimed to be a prophet, but in that moment that they asked me, I felt the Lord giving me an unction to say, well, I believe God has given me two words to share. And I think people thought that I was going to say it's all going to be unicorns and roses and daffodils and daisies and, you know, sugar drops falling out of the trees. But because they were on the edge of their seats, you know, big smiles on their faces. And I think what I said let them down. But I said two things. Number one, God is going to use this man to expose the depths of evil in our nation, in the halls of government, in the halls of religion, in the halls of the entertainment industry, and on education institutions, the depths of the evil, not only in our nation, but around the world, the international connections to all of this. And, you know, people, amen, you know, and they clapped, they were happy. Yeah, that needs to be exposed. And then the second thing I said they weren't so happy about, I said, and because of that, all hell is going to come against this man and against us, even against God's people. You are going to see the gates of hell come open, and you're going to see things that this nation has never seen before, the depth of it and the depth of spiritual warfare. I said, they hate him already. They want him gone already. And, of course, we didn't even know then that the Mueller report basically had a Mueller investigation had already been planned months before he even won the election. We now know that. I didn't know that when I was speaking that night. And I said, it's getting ready to come. It's going to come like an avalanche. It'll be like something you've never seen before. And sure enough, both of those things have happened. And so here we are. And I'm just telling you, I don't think I ever said this publicly, so this sounds a little self-serving, but I've said it to my wife, I've said it to people close to me down through these last 4 years, that I really hoped that Donald Trump would win a second term, but I just had an uneasy feeling that he wouldn't, and I just didn't know. I didn't know what was going to happen, but I could just feel the evil in the air. My wife and I said several times during these last 4 years, something's not right, something's getting ready to turn a corner, a dark corner, And, well, brother, that has happened. Now, again, I didn't say this publicly, so people can take this with a grain of salt, but I'm not lying. We felt that. We spoke about that. So, anyway, so, I think that God has used him. Probably he's not finished with him. And by that, I don't mean that he's necessarily going to walk in and take the White House from Joe Biden. But I just think Donald Trump, unless God's just totally done with him, I don't think Donald Trump's going to go down fighting from wherever he is. I think he's going to keep exposing. I think he's going to keep talking. I think he's going to keep telling people what has happened and what he knows. And what's going on. I think it's breaking his heart. Not that he lost the election, but to see what's happening to the Constitutional Republic of America.
Yeah, amen. A couple of things, and then I'll want you to comment on it. Number one, I wholeheartedly believe that when he first ran, I knew in my heart of hearts he was going to win. You know, I'm not saying thus saith the Lord, but, you know,
yes. Yes.
I just felt it strongly.
Me too.
The first one. And then the second one, I said it on this program, you know, I said over and over, I do think that he's going to win. But then my tune did change about midsummer, and I said that, when my final confirmation came in, and I wasn't feeling quite so sure, and I said this on the program, I said that it's going to depend on us. And that was around the time. Remember when Jonathan Cahn at Feast of Trumpets did the repenting thing, you know what I mean?
In
Washington.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And it was at that time that I felt my heart of hearts. I just knew that I wasn't no longer the convinced sure that I always was. I just said that, you know, I believe that it would be up to the depth of our repentance, you know. I'm with you. I believe the biggest thing and I have said this over and over, the biggest thing was the revealing that happened. I sensed it early on, and I started to talk about it, and then you came on and you gave that on our program, you know, about what you did, and I won't say the name of the other program because I even remember the name of the program you were talking about, but. The point being is you're absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And what I want the people to know is, look at all the things that came against him. You have to know that the Father had to be with him, or no man could have stood up to all that.
Yeah.
So that if we believe that, why can't we believe that now the Father's still in control? Because if he kept him in, he could also allow him to go out. You know what I'm saying? Back to you.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And that was not as eloquently as you just said it, but that's kind of where I was going to go with the fact that the Lord has always been in control of all of this. He has never slapped his forehead and said, oh my gosh, I didn't know this was going to happen. and plus, you know, we've just watched... you know, everybody talks about Biden wins. I know I'm going to say something that we're not supposed to say. Now, according to the left, Biden didn't win. Listen, you know, and I don't want to do this again tonight. I've done it on my show. I'm sure you've done it on your show. There have been other people that have written about it. You've probably read these lists, but there are so many statistical improbabilities having to do with this so-called Biden win that it's right in front of our faces, the fraud that was perpetrated here. And I mean, it's just over and over and over again. The statistics have been run, and I'm talking about by people who really didn't have a dog in the fight. They were just statisticians and mathematicians looking at all of the different political scientists saying, you know, this has never happened. This could not happen. This could never happen. These numbers don't figure out. They don't add up. You got a man, for example, that's having every time he goes anywhere for a rally, he fills football stadiums or whatever, wherever he goes. I don't care if it's a hangar in an airport. There'll be 20,000 people show up for a 5,000 person hangar. 40,000 people show up in a football stadium. Joe Biden, he literally could get no more. The biggest crowd he ever had, they estimated, was 1,000 people, and that was, you know, cars and honking when he spoke, and, you know, who knows. But it's just crazy. And that's just one of the simplest illustrations, but you can go. I mean, you remember when Obama ran the first time, the media continually said, look at these huge crowds. That is proof. These huge crowds, this is proof he's going to win. This is proof that he's the most popular. This is proof that that he's going to win in a landslide. Well, if that was the proof with Obama, how could it be that a man hiding in his basement with a mask over his face, reading from a teleprompter, that couldn't get any more than 1,000 people, and probably much, much less than that, how could it be that he won in the biggest landslide in history, he claims, and the Democrats claim, and Donald Trump, who had 10,000, 20,000, 30,000, 50,000 people everywhere he went, he lost in a landslide. How can that be? It can't be. Well, anyway, the bottom line is, we're sitting here watching this fraud. And if that's not enough slap in the face, then we watch the collapse of the court system, the Supreme Court, Congress, all of the stopgaps, all of the checks and balances of a constitutional republic, rule of law republic, basically just fell through the cracks. And, you know, and so we're
that's spooky.
Yeah.
I mean, you know what? If I wasn't the man of faith that I was, believing that the Father's in control, that would scare the pants off of me, because it did. Everybody advantaged. There's no check. There's no balance. Everybody's lying, and it doesn't matter that they lie, and they know they're lying, and everybody knows they're lying, and, you know, it just does not matter. And that would be very, very spooky, Pastor Carl, if it were not for our faith in Yahweh. We're right up going to be on the break in about a minute. Why don't you tell them where they can find you and what's over there, and then we'll go to break, come back, and this will lead right into your book.
Okay, good deal. And, yeah, they can find me at carlgallups.com, my name, .com, CARLGALLUPS, carlgallups.com. I've got email there, phone number there. You can order books from there. You can watch sermons from there. You can watch live stream worship from there, articles I've written, et cetera, all on one page, carlgallups.com.
Yeah, amen, folks. And you can also find a way to get to Freedom Friday, which is Carl's great radio program. And so if you're not tuning into that, you ought to be tuning into it. Folks, we'll be back in about 4 minutes.
Go away, Pastor Dan will be right back.
Israel, Israel, by the great sea, borders from the river Nile. Moses seen this land of promise beyond the river Jordan. God gave to his servant Abraham. Doubt of it, arise a nation for all the world to see. Israel, Israel, God has chosen. All their needs, they dwelt. in the land of Canaan, where Jesus would be born. Israel, Israel, God has chosen Israel, Israel, Israel.
Jesus spoke to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers." When one sat down to read the scriptures in the synagogue, that was referred to as sitting in Moses' seat. Jesus said to observe what was presented from scripture, but not to follow after the teachings of men, for they had added their own rules and regulations. He called them hypocrites, saying that they shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. The fact that Jesus did come against the teachings of the Pharisees has been misinterpreted by many to mean that the observance of the Sabbath no longer applies to believers. A careful study, however, reveals that he came not against the commandment, but rather against hundreds of interpretive teachings which made it impossible to keep. Yes, the scribes and Pharisees who falsely accused Jesus of breaking the fourth commandment had perverted the true intent of the law to the extent that he called them serpents and vipers, and said that even though they appeared righteous unto men, that within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Nowhere in the Bible is the fourth commandment made void. It is a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, until heaven and earth pass away. I'm Richard Reeves with Just the Facts. For more information, contact Partakers Publications, Post Office Box 23031, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227, or visit our website at www.toolong.com.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin. You're listening to Cy's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Well, folks, just pray about supporting Wichita Mission Churches. Pray about supporting talk radio. We're even talking with Pastor Carl tonight. He has a talk radio program. I have one. You should support these things, because where else are you going to get the truth? Because right now it's being suppressed, and I believe that's going to go on and on and on and on. So I really, really, really do believe that you need to support talk radio. So pray about supporting this radio program. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. You can donate online, over the telephone, any of those things. Get a hold of me. Find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now we are back with Pastor Carl. Are you still there with me, Carl?
I'm still here, Pastor Dan. Thank you.
Okay. Revelation chapter 3:10. Didn't you mention that on Facebook? You're talking about the test that comes upon the whole world. Don't you think? Didn't you say that you believe that? We're now stepping into that test, don't you think?
Well, yes. And the passage that I quoted was it comes from the church at Philadelphia, the seven letters, seven churches. And I know that those seven letters have been interpreted so many different ways.
Do what? I said the exact. Thought out loud the exact thing that you were saying. I said so many different ways.
Yeah, I know. And so when I speak of the scriptures, I just put all that stuff aside and just look at what the Bible says. Of course, when it was first written, it was written to seven real churches in a real place at a real time in the Roman Empire in Asia Minor, which is Turkey. Those seven churches were kind of in a rough kind of circle in that area. If you've ever looked at, if your listeners have ever looked at a map. So, I know that, and that's the context. And then people said, yeah, but each church represents a different age, and it's for a different time, and maybe, but it's the Word of God. It's living. It's active. If you divide it up where each church is only for a specific time, then you wind up with whole chunks of God's Word that, what, they don't have meaning then unless you're in that time, and how do you know if you're in that time? So I just look at it for what it is, like the whole rest of God's Word. It first meant something to the people it was written to. Then, when it's specifically speaking of prophecy, and specifically end-time prophecy, then you know that it's speaking at least to our generation and perhaps beyond. So then you have to look for the meaning there. So when you look at these letters, every one of them have powerful things to say to churches. And some churches have found their own personalities in those seven letters. And right. And so what I am saying, and I have been praying for years, my church can verify that what I'm getting ready to say is true. I've been the pastor of one church for 34 years on the Gulf Coast, and many times over those 34 years, I have prayed and encouraged our people to pray this and to live this, what I call the Church of Philadelphia promise over our own church and over our own Christian lives. And that is this, just very quickly, the Holy Spirit says to the Church of Philadelphia, by the way, the word Philadelphia means brotherly love or love for the brothers. And so it's a church that's a loving church where they love each other and support each other, just like God's Word says to do. And it goes on to say, and I'm just going to paraphrase, but it says, but because you have not denied my name, see, not ashamed of the name of Jesus, and because you have stood in my word, you know, you've preached it from beginning to end. You've preached the tough stuff as well as the easy stuff. You're discipling people in my word, and because you have not tolerated, and to that church it says, the synagogue of Satan, those who call themselves Jews who are not, that has nothing to do with attacking Jews or saying that means that Israel's not the real Israel. I mean, people come up with all this stupid interpretations. The bottom line is the word synagogue means meeting place or assembly. That's all that word means. And in that day, particularly in the New Testament time, you had the Orthodox Jews who had denied Christ that were infiltrating the church. They were called the Judaizers, and they were trying to lead people away from Jesus Christ and get them back under the law, back in bondage to the law and to the rabbis and to the synagogues, and they were, you know, doing that. But the Church of Philadelphia stood up against the false teaching, stood up against the people that were fake teachers and coming in their midst to sabotage the church. And so Jesus said to the church at Philadelphia, because you love each other, you've got this name. You're not a big church. You're not the richest. You're not the most powerful. But I've put before you doors that will that no one else can open, and I've opened them, and no one can shut them because you have done this. You have not denied my name. You've stood in the word. You've stood up against false teaching and heresy. You've taken care of people who've come in, the wolves that would destroy the sheep. Then he says, because of this, I will preserve you. In fact, most translations it says keep you from or keep you in. And I can explain the Greek in a moment. But what it means is because you are living this way as a church, I will preserve you in the midst of the trial that is getting ready to come upon the whole earth. Well, obviously, that would speak of the very, very, very last days before the return of the Lord, when Antichrist is apparently full bore, fully visible. I mean, we got the marking system. We've got the persecution directly all over the world. Well, and I'm just making the point, Pastor Dan, we're at the edges of that now. All of the technology's there. The spirit of fear is there. The spirit of Antichrist, for the first time in church history, at the turning of 2020 with the COVID pandemic, fear-demic, churches all over the world were closed at government edicts. And then we were told by these governments, we'll tell you when you can go back to church, if you can go back to church, how many can go back to church, whether you got to wear a mask or not, whether you can sing or not. And for the first time in the church's history of 2,000 years, on Resurrection Sunday 2020, you couldn't find a church hardly anywhere in the world to go to. And that Resurrection Sunday represents the defeat of Satan's kingdom. And Satan knows what's going on. And for the first time since the church was born, Satan was able to manipulate the world, pandemics, world governments, and wicked, wicked people into shutting down the church. And most churches and pastors and people accommodated the wishes of the evil one and the Antichrist spirit, and they shut down and left. And a lot of them are still not open, brother. So I'm just calling God's people, be the church at Philadelphia, because there's a promise attached to it. We have just entered the front door of the test that's coming upon the whole world. The church pretty much failed this test in this last year, pretty much. And so the Word of God says, and judgment begins first with the house of God. It says that. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Judgment begins in the house of the Lord. And so 2020, the first time when the church as a whole, all over the world, had a test put before it, and we shut the doors. And I'm just telling you, bro, I could go on and on about it. Let me throw this into this.
Okay. Let me throw this in. Somebody just sent me Biden's agenda for the first 100 days. You know how they try to do everything. First 100 days. Anyway, one of the very first things he's doing is he's ordering a 100-day lockdown nationwide. So what's that going to, where's the church going to be at that? They're going to shut their door. Where are they going to be at?
Well,
that, go ahead. Back to
you. No, I'm sorry. I thought you were finished. You keep going. I thought you were finished.
No, that's all I was going to say. Let's just leave it at that. That's what I'm saying. We're going to have another 100 days. That's going to take us to Passover and Easter, is it not?
Yeah. Well, not only that, but what did we see in this last year? We saw Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. If you gather, if we had some states and governors saying that, you know, the police are monitoring Facebook to see who's meeting who with their families, and they're going to send patrol cars around to find you or to arrest you. I mean, this was the United States of America. That sounded like China, but it happened right here, and it's still happening. And the Biden administration, they're breathing out these threats. Now, all I can say to this for God's people is, you need to be prepared. We don't know. Listen, just because people threaten doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, God can do anything. There can be all kinds of things happen. And nothing ever remains the same. The Word of God says that. The Word of God says men make their plans, and God scoffs at them. Men make their wicked plans and their schemes, and God thwarts their schemes. He confuses their schemes. He laughs at them. But we also have to realize that God uses this, too, as a testing. The church is being weeded out, brother. I hate to say this, but it's just true. It is being sifted, the wheat from the tares, just like Jesus said would happen. And so we're watching truth being thrown to the ground. We're watching lawlessness prevail. We're watching rebellion spirit sweep the world. We're watching the spirit of fear sweep the world. We're watching suicide rates going through the roof all over the world. We're watching depression rates going through the roof all over the world. We're watching drug abuse rates going through the roof all over the world. Everything I just said is specifically prophesied in the scriptures. And if I had time, I could point you to every one of those scriptures. But everything is there. Plus the fact that this spirit kind of anarchy and rebellion, we don't know what's going to happen here on January the 20th and thereafter. So plus, just because Biden comes up and says, 100-day lockdown, well, I don't know. I mean, it really doesn't matter anymore, does it? I was going to say, I don't know that he has that constitutional authority, but
there you go.
They don't.
You hit the nail on the head. You don't know. The I don't think he does have the constitutional authority, and I didn't mean to butt in, but here's the point. None of that matters to them now.
Well, that's what where I was going to say.
Yeah, that's
what I was going to say. Yeah, yeah. You and I read each other's minds. It's funny. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. The Constitution doesn't permit it. So you look at Florida's governor. Now, I live in Florida. I mean, Ron DeSantis, he is like Trump on steroids. And, I mean, he is just, in fact, all kind of statistics are coming out now that, you know, he didn't do a lockdown. He's not doing mask mandates in the state, et cetera, et cetera. And we've got now some of the best curve on this whole thing and some of the best rates. By the way, the state that has the worst record for the number of infections and the number of deaths and the number of hospitalizations is California. And yeah, that's the one that had the strictest requirements. That's the one that was sending police to people's house at Thanksgiving and Christmas and churches and trying to lock up mega church pastors and mandating everybody wear a mask or you'll get a fine. We'll take you off the street and put you in jail. I mean, and they've got the worst cases of everything right now, while Florida has some of the very best. And so how is Biden going to tell Governor DeSantis, I'm going to make you lock your state down? Biden doesn't have that authority, but the problem is they don't care. Apparently, they don't need the authority. Look what they just did with our election. Look what the Supreme Court just did. The Supreme Court, during the time when Trump was in office, actually ruled that a casino could be open, but a church in Nevada could not be open. Now, if they can rule like that and then refuse to rule on a complete fraudulent election, what are they going to do when Biden takes the throne and the Supreme Court says, that's right, the president can issue this order and the states must comply? Well, brother, I am not calling for anything. I'm just saying there's only a few possibilities I can see. One is everybody just folds and obeys, you know, the king, King Biden. Or there's some kind of a revolt. I mean that's what started the Civil War in the 1800s, and I'm not calling for Civil War. I don't want a Civil War. I don't want to see that happen. Oh, my gosh, I don't want to see that. But I'm just looking at all of the possibilities. What do we do? Do we just comply? Do we obey? Have all of our rights just snatched away? And, you know, and so the first time they did this, in a lot of the states, they said, look, just shut your churches just for a few weeks, just for 4 weeks or 8 weeks, a couple of months. And a lot of churches complied. That's why I say that I don't judge all of the churches because, you know, everybody had to make different choices and they lived under different governors and edicts. But eventually it got to where even churches all over Florida, where there's never been a law to close your church, almost all the churches are closed still, you know. So, brother, I don't know. It's a mess.
Let me throw this in, Carl. You said, you know, there could be a civil war, but I think that the big thing, and we probably ought to spend the rest of the time on this, is that there is a war going on right now, and people just can't see it. The veil is down over their eyes, and they cannot see the spiritual war that's going on. It was really been being revealed during the Trump presidency, as you pointed out.
Yes.
But I don't know that the men of God, maybe they are in some churches, but I don't think they're pointing to the spiritual aspect of all of this, because it isn't really politics. It's good versus evil, and these other gods, as the word calls them, there's a battle going on, is there not? And your book points to it. All your books do. Back to you.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. That's what the Word of God says. I've written gods of and thrones. I've written Gods of Ground Zero. I wrote Gods of the Final Kingdom. I wrote Masquerade that came out this last year. And then the summoning, Masquerade and the Summoning just fit right in with those first three, the God series. And it's all about all of this, what the Bible really, really says about where we really, really are and what is really, really happening. And it's all tied to deep, deep spiritual warfare that's been going on since the Garden of Eden, and then the flood, and then the Tower of Babel, and then the whole history of Israel and all of the evil kingdoms that came against them, and trying to find that seed of the womb of the woman and destroying the Christ before he ever even could get started. And when that failed, he tried to, Satan thought he was going to take care of him on the cross, and that turned out to be a big trap. And then the resurrection, and then the church was born, and the Holy Spirit was given, and the gospel is being preached. And for the last 2,000 years, Satan has just been going out of his mind. And we've had wars and rumors of wars and World War I and World War II and the nuclear bomb and the Holocaust and 6 million Jews killed and trying to stop the nation of Israel. And I mean, it's all about spiritual warfare. It all centers around Israel and Jerusalem, folks, not the United States of America. God, we're just a nation that God has used, and he's blessed us as he's used us, but the Bible's not written about us. I get so many people saying, where's the United States in this? Where are we? We're the special ones. No, we're not. No, we're not. I mean, we're special if we're under the blood. Individual Christians that live here or wherever we live, we're special to the Lord, and he's got all kind of promises for us, even in tough times, like the Church of Philadelphia. I will preserve you in the midst of it. And people ask me, well, what does that mean? Well, it's what happened to Noah. It's what happened to Lot. Noah and Lot lived in the worst times the world's ever seen in their day, and yet they lived right in the middle of it, and God took care of them. In fact, he used them to minister to the cultures they lived in, and both of them gave everybody a chance to repent. Of course, the cultures they lived in, nobody would repent. And Brother Jesus said it'll be just like that in the last days. It'll be like the days of Noah, and like the days of Lot, he says in Luke 17. And so here we are, and that's what my book, The Summoning, is about. Is that the subtitle is Understanding or Preparing for the Coming Days of Noah. And, brother, we've stepped into that room already. We've crossed the threshold. We're there. Now, we're not at the end times, but, I mean, we're right there.
Right. There's a point. It's a process. And, you know, it's not as easy just to do it just like immediately. I mean, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, the same shall be saved. But really, it's more of a process. I know I've watched a lot of people turn their life over to Christ, and then it's a battle. You know what I'm saying? It's a battle. And if the more they know about the process and they what they're fighting, the better off they are. And that's why, look at this, the summoning. Look how your books are progress. The mask, well, that's real easy to see what that predicted, you know. The mask, the masquerade. Yeah, I mean, you know, we wouldn't go back into that. But this next book is the next book that needed to be there, because this brought us up to the time of the test. I mean, it's right there at the door. It's like right there. I'm trying not to open it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But here's the point. This book brings us into that, to where we can get better prepared and know what to expect. And that's what they need, Carl. Amen. Back to you.
Well, thank you. Well, listen, yeah, and I just want your listeners to know that the book is written to give you the theological understanding, the biblical understanding, everything you need to know what it is we're up against and how it's going. But it also has a lot of practical. I've got a whole addendum in the back, 30, 40 pages on how to be prepared physically as well as spiritually. I've got scriptures that are there in the book, I mean, that you can read, just scriptures of comfort and strength and courage, but also how to be prepared. How are you going to shelter in place if something really, really bad happens? I mean, what are you going to do? Are you equipped? How do I get equipped? Well, this book tells you. There's, as I said, 40 or 50 pages about it. And people have all kind of questions about, yeah, but, you know, should we, isn't that a sign of faithlessness if we prepare? And I tell people, look, Noah was the greatest prepper the world ever saw. So was Joseph, and so was the early church. Read the New Testament. They were prepping all the time. Why? Because they lived in the Roman Empire in the days of great persecution and famine and pestilence, plagues. I'm talking about the church ministered. I've got that in this book. I've got sources right out of historical journals and annals talking about how the church in the first and second century in the Roman Empire, they blew the world away because the world ran and hid from pandemics, and threw their loved ones in the streets to die because people were so afraid of the Black Plague and everything. And the Christians went into the streets and gathered up these disease-ridden people and brought them to their own homes and nursed them back to health. And that's a matter of historical records. And because of their great faith and because they saw that in the early church Christian community, far fewer of them got sick and died than the unbelievers, there was a great revival. Many, many people in the Roman Empire. That's why the church grew so huge, because during the toughest times, the church had faith. What has broken my heart in this last year is to watch the church in America and basically around the world, in one of the toughest times that's come upon this world, at least with the fear-demic part of it, the church, by and large, just shut its doors and went away.
I know, Carl. You're talking to somebody that works in the field. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
And we lost, you know, there were a lot of people that we've known for years, you know, just went away. You know what I mean? And we're still out there. You know, every day we take Tuesday, we took care of 81 people. And a large number of that isn't just food, and it's not just clothing and Bibles. A lot of it is they come up and nobody will get close to them, you know, to give them prayer. I go out there and I lay hands on them and I pray on them, and you know, it was so heartbreaking, and I don't want to take up the time, but it was so heartbreaking. I prayed on one woman because she lost her husband. And then another woman stepped up, and I had to pray on her because she just lost her dad. And, you know, and then there was prayers for loved ones. And this, it's just heartbreaking, you know, because there's nobody there for the people. You know, they just walked away. You know, anyway, back to you. I'm sorry.
No, you don't have to apologize, brother. No, goodness gracious. Well, you're right, and same thing with me and my church, and all glory to Jesus. We've never shut our doors. We asked God. We dared to believe His word. I mean, by faith, we didn't name it and claim it, and we didn't have some kind of seance or incantations, and you know, we didn't demand that God do something. We just took His word and said, Lord, we're just going to claim Your word. We're going to wash our hands and be careful. If we got a fever, we're going to stay home, and we're not going to be sneezing on people, and you know, and we're not going to sit in little Sunday school rooms and cram everybody together, but we're not going to shut the doors. We're going to worship, and more than that, we're going to do missions and ministry and outreach, just like you. We're going to get our hands dirty. We're going to put our hands on people. We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them. We're going to hug people's necks. We're going to be careful about it. We'll wash our hands afterwards if we have to, but we're not going to quit being the church. And we said, Lord, please honor Your name, honor Your word, by keeping us safe in this. And I even prayed. I said, Lord, I'm not saying that means all of us can never get sick or even die. I'm just saying, don't let it wipe us out, Lord. Don't let it make a mockery of Your church and Your word. And I just felt such a peace in praying that. And our people, amen, they all agreed. We went on with it. Now we're well over a year. I've not done one funeral. We've not had anybody on respirators in the hospitals. We've had a double handful of people that were tested positive. Almost all of them had some kind of symptoms. They went to bed. They got well. They came back. But we've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds that's just gotten on with life and ministry. We've taken care of each other. And
oh,
the church.
Carl, we've got to get out of here. I just looked at the clock. We got less than a minute left. Tell me where you can find it, and we'll talk again, Carl.
Yeah. CarlGallops.com. Thank you. CarlGallops.com.
All right. Be blessed, Carl, as I know you are.
You too.
Okay. Thanks, Carl. All right, folks. That was Pastor Carl Gallops. I'm sorry I just let time get away from us. We don't have very much time. Pray for the Wichita Mission Church. We really do need your support. We need to restock with food, and we do have somebody right now that's supposed to be looking for coats and things for us, but we do need your prayers of faith. We really do. And you need talk radio. We need you to support talk radio prayerfully when you hear this program. You can donate online, mail a check or money order, call, give a donation over the phone. You'll find all that information at prophecyhour.com. Well, folks, you must remember there is only one true God. He is your Father. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life. You got that? He gave his life for our repentant sins. And he rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And through him and only through him is the way to the Father, Yeshua HaMashiach. Some people call him Jesus Christ. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That is praying for Yeshua's return, because he won't return. There will be no peace until he returns, is what I'm trying to say. Lord our God, Father, King, Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that, Father, you would please, please bless and keep them. And let your face shine upon them. And be gracious to them, Father. And give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch. We'll